Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Yes, we are. I've got the stream back up. It's amazing what happens when you bring in your IT guy and he's puttering around back there and he says, who unplugged this? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We all had a big talk yesterday about that one. Today, the 4th of September, is 7:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Hey, it's your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'm here with Jared at the helm, who is sitting there looking dapper as usual.
Why, thank you.
And what's it look like for weather? And just don't say hot.
I'll name the temperatures with it.
Okay.
But, I mean, that would be a good descriptor. It's currently 68 degrees. Today we're going to have a high of 101 and a low of 67. Saturday we're going to have a high of 105, a low of 72. Sunday it's going to be a pretty hot one with a high of 110, a low of 74. And on Labor Day it's a high of 109 with a low of 73. And hopefully that's the last heat wave of the year.
110 Sunday. 109 yeah. Monday. Great time to go to the lakes. Oh, my gosh. Hey, the weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson, has been there for almost a quarter of a century, providing great service to people out there. He gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Does so much for our community. You can give him a call at 365-3793. And if it's Friday and it's 7 o'clock in the morning, it must be Jim with Haven Humane.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. I assume it's Jim. He's got a mask on. So, in fact, you can send anybody in here and just put your name tag on it. You know, anybody.
Yeah, it's about
Mark,
the truth, yeah.
Mark Story could come in here. It's a nice purple mask. I love it, man.
Thank you.
Okay, hey, you have, she has been in here before, and she is a love.
Yes.
And, you know, Jim's just, you know, just taken over, and what, this is the second or third week you've been in here.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but how do you select the dogs or cats or whatever you bring in here?
You know, it's not rocket science. I'm gonna go through. I'm gonna see who's ready to walk out the door today.
Then I'm gonna. There's no big equation
there's
here.
No big equation,
you don't have it written up on the wall and it equals.
Yeah, well, what's her name? Today Priya equaled MC squared.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
That's how I got her. No, she's just one of my favorites in the shelter right now. So I like to use my biases and.
use your biases. You know, this is not fair. This is just how I feel at the time.
Exactly,
you know what?
Exactly.
And if you don't like it, you get up at 3 a.m. and come down here and pick up all
that's
the dogs.
Right, exactly.
Hey, she's a special dog, my friend.
She really is. She's been here or at the shelter rather since February. So that's one of the reasons I picked her. It's just she's been here so long. I really. I'm anxious to get her out into a comfortable home, and one of the reasons that I want her in a comfortable home is that she only has three legs. We actually picked her up during one of our 24-hour emergency on-calls in the middle of the night. She had been hit by a car. She came down to the shelter. We splinted her leg and tried a lot of things to repair it, and in the end, we just weren't able to repair it. And it was still causing her pain, so we ended up having to remove it.
It's called a therapeutic amputation.
Exactly, yeah.
And we see that in the military in this, that they have the limb, but it causes so much pain. And it really they suffer from it, and military does this too. They'll do a traumatic amputation.
Yeah.
It's up to, of course, it's up to the military member, but in almost every case, it's always for the good.
Right. I think for her, it was.
Yeah.
She was, she's got a higher activity level, so trying to run around with a big splint on and a cone on her head, so she's not chewing stuff, and it was a mess, and so this was the better option
and
for
this,
her.
And by the way, this dog, I came up, and she's maybe seen me once, I don't know, but she came up, and, you know, she's a little shy, but she's not scaredy. She's not a scaredy cat. She looked at me, and she came up and licked my hand and got beautiful eyes, and people, she doesn't, she's not, She doesn't feel sorry for herself. She's got three legs.
Oh, no. I don't think she notices too much anymore, except this morning she was trying to hop right into the back of the car, and she had a little trouble making that big hop.
Making
so I had
hop.
To help her, but she was a little embarrassed to ask me for help, but I didn't make a big deal about it.
Okay, describe her to our listeners.
Yeah, she's a just a typical fun shepherd dog, lots of energy. Like I said, because of the wing,
I scared her. She had her back to me, and I looked underneath there to say something, and it frightened her.
Yeah.
But
she was just protecting me.
But that is good because if somebody comes to the house,
yeah,
she'll bark.
Know.
That was my fault.
She loves to play. She'll still chase a tennis ball. She'll bring it back to you. If you sit down in the grass, she comes over and hops in your lap. I apologize for the drool all over the couch out there.
We have other people drool on the couch. I'd rather it have be the dog.
All around really sweet girl. She loves playing with other dogs.
But she's also going to be protective. You just saw that in the sense of somebody comes around the house, she's going to bark, and she's got a big dog bark, even though she's not that big.
No, she's about 55 pounds.
Yeah.
60 with the extra leg, but...
Oh, that's cruel. That's cruel. Hey, you want to lose some weight? Yeah, just take off. Yeah, okay, that's bad.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've seen her before. Now, if you've got a, if maybe you're not as fast as you used to be when you take your walks, this might be a great dog, even though she can move pretty good.
Yeah, she's still got plenty of strength in her. Yeah. I will tell you this. First thing in the morning we get there and we take her out, the first thing she does is pull you outside so that she can go to the bathroom outside. So
House
she's been
broken.
Holding it all night.
Yeah.
I'm assuming
well,
she's
that's
housebroken.
Great.
She's got the most beautiful smile, most beautiful eyes.
She does. You know what? She's moving around the office right now, or the studio right now. She's got three legs, but you know what? There's something about a dog that with three legs, they don't feel sorry for themselves. They're just there to provide love.
Yeah.
And this dog is a love.
And she comes with a great story to tell people.
Yeah. And her adoption fee is it less or what?
She would be $85 to adopt. Plus, if you bring in any canned goods right now, we're taking $25 off any. We're still trying to stuff the bus.
Okay. So bring in canned goods, get $25 off, and we'll pay $25.
All right, there you go.
So you can get you can have this dog for $50 for $35.
$35.
That's out the door, and it's been chipped. She's been fixed. She's been chipped. So this is a good opportunity. You know, you want something that's going a warm body that's going to love you. Mm-hmm. It's going to bark if you have intruders. that's okay though. That's what you want a dog to do is be protective. And she is quiet. That's the first time I've heard her bark in two times she's been in here. She's just laying down.
Yeah, she just got surprised.
What I did was I came from under. She was underneath the table and I just reached under, and it scared her. I don't blame her. Scare me too. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for what y'all are doing.
Yeah, of course. I'm always glad to be here. Appreciate it.
So if people want Petra?
Priya.
Priya. Okay, I would name it a different name. I'd name her, what is that? What is the, Athena.
Athena's
good.
That's a nice strong name.
Yeah. Because she is a strong dog.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. How do people get a hold of you?
Oh, they can call us 241-1653. They can get us on Facebook /Haven Humane Society or havenhumane.org.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, we got to take a break here, and this portion of the show brought to you by Sleep Number. I have to make sure I get this exactly right, because if I leave off any part of it, and I'm reading this exactly now, they Carl, come on, you're supposed to say this. And I went, I didn't see that. It was really small print at the bottom. Anyway, but you know what? My Sleep Number bed, and you've been hearing me talk about it for 5 years, it is most incredibly good night's sleep that I've ever had is in our Sleep Number bed. It adjusts to the firmness you want. And you know, marriage is a compromise, but we don't have to compromise on the firmness of our bed. Linda's Sleep Number setting is 45. My Sleep Number setting is 60. We both sleep like little logs when we're in the bed. Good night's sleep will give you an opportunity to stay healthier. Get you, you know, your mental facilities will be better. In fact, Jared can tell when I, if I go to bed late at night, when I have the show the next morning, because, you know, strange things happen. Dogs bark at me, things like this. And Sleep Number has been rated both 1 and 2 in their category by Consumer Reports. It doesn't take money. It just goes out and it measures the effectiveness and how good products are. Well, Sleep Number has been 1 and 2 in their ratings. Now, you can come in during the biggest sale of the year when all beds are on sale. For a limited time, save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Shop your way at a Sleep Number store, online at sleepnumber.com or by chat. We'd rather you go to our Sleep Number store. Of course, it's a lot easier. You can lay down on one, see what it's like in the Target Shopping Center over there next to the vitamin shop. Sleep Number. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. From 2006 to 2014, I served on the Reading City Council, and most of those years, I also sat on the Indian Gaming Local Community Benefit Committee. Through the Reading Rancheria, we donated millions of dollars to the City of Reading, Shasta County, and many special districts. This much-needed money was allocated for things like the Reading Fire Department's ladder truck, and positions in the Sheriff's Office, and positions in the DA's Office. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and this is why I support the tribe. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. Carl and the Bot. Linda is with her brother. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law rolled in last night, blocked my truck in, so I just took Linda's car today. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to see if I can drift it around a corner, you know, where you come down the streets at excessive speed, and then you drift it around the corner.
You can use the handbrake.
Use the handbrake. Yeah. It's harder to do with when you've got a, you don't have a handbrake, by the way.
Oh, the newer electronic ones?
Oh, gosh, I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah. Hey, it's 7:19 in the morning. It's 70 degrees. It's going to be going up to 102 today. And that's going to be nice because Sunday it's going to be 110 and Monday about the same. So I talked to Dan Bean is from Reading Electric Utility, and he and I were chit-chatting yesterday. And he said, you know, we're very fortunate to live here where we have REU. And people, you know, they, you know, complain, you know, for a variety of reasons. But let me tell you what. REU, when our founding fathers back in 1921 or somewhere around in there bought the facility from PG&E, it was a great move because where here we are with the fifth largest economy in the world, and yet we have brownouts like we're a third world nation. Because as Governor Newsom pointed out, the solar and the wind is not enough to keep up with the peak demand. It's just not big enough, and they don't have the storage capacity. So they, you know, PG&E comes out and says, "Hey, we're going to have to shut things down. We're going to have to for an hour." And at least they're getting better about telling you about it, but still they're doing it. But REU does not run into that. Why? Because we have our own power station here that we can use to increase the amount of power so we don't get turned off. And it runs on natural gas. Now here's something else that I got to have Dan back on again to explain again about this natural gas. The state of California wants to divest us of natural gas also. Well, natural gas right now is so cheap that, you know, that when they use it, it's very, very cost effective for us. That's why our rates are so much lower than PG&E's. But what he did ask is, because of the excessive heat this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, is that you take a look, and during the peak hours, and that's at 3 p.m. to, I think, 7 p.m., if you don't need to run all your air conditioners or if you can find a way to conserve power, this is the time to do it. You know, it's a great time to go out for dinner. All the restaurants are open now, you know, for indoor dining. They have air conditioning. Maybe go out and have dinner and then come home, because during this time frame, we're going to be okay. But any power we have left over then can go back into the major grids to help out with the rest of California. And by the way, we sell that power. We just don't give it to them. And during these types, of the year, when they have shortages, we get a very good price on our electricity. And now that money comes back into, our general fund. So think about that this weekend. Think about how you can conserve. And, go out and have dinner at a restaurant that has been closed, have been hammered over all these weeks, and help our neighbors and help the economy and help our power usage. So, okay. I see where the people that are opposing Costco are now saying they're going to take it to court. I don't quite understand this, except it's they tried to get 5,000 signatures. Now, 5,000 signatures out of the city of Reading of 90,000, you'd think you could get 5,000, and they couldn't get 5,000 signatures. So it's because, you know, whoever's, you know, mostly out of the Churn Creek area down there, and there's a few others probably, and it's because the people of Reading want Costco there. It's kind of like you're being a dog in the manger at this point, where you just, you know, you're not going to eat the hay, but you don't want the cows eating hay. So this thing is, you know, Costco is going to be good for our tax base. It's going to be a larger store, so it's not as crowded in there. It's going to hire more people. And nobody says that Costco doesn't pay their people well and treat their people well, because they do. But they're still putting a lawsuit against them for CEQA, environmental. What we're seeing here is that anybody then can stop any type of progress, and you can do it. You know, it could be five people, and they could do it if they can just, let's just sue. Let's see how long we can keep them in court. Well, you're not going to win. It's gone through all the hurdles. It's just a way of slowing down what's happening there at Costco. They, you know, they said even with the lawsuit, however, they figure on being open in 2022. Well, let's hope so. So, other things going on. You know, I was thoroughly amused by the fact that the mayor in Portland, bless his heart, you know, they chased him out of his house. And then he moved into a condo in a multi-level building. They, you know, he found out where he was. They broke into the, they broke into that and set it on fire. Set the lobby on fire. There's people in there. So the mayor is forced to move again. I don't, you know, he's going to probably keep it as secret as he possibly can. But you know, there's some of our protesters out there, those merry men and women, the peaceful boys and girls of summer, are going to find it again, and then they're going to riot around his place again. They did announce that the, if you remember the shooting in Portland, the murder of a gentleman that was, had a hat that I think it had Patriot Prayer on it. And I think that's the group. I don't follow any of the groups, but, unarmed, and they were there in a pro-Trump rally, and this guy came up and, shot him, killed him. The Patriot Prayer guy was, description, pretty peaceful guy. He wasn't causing any trouble. This guy just came up and he shot him, killed him, and then was on the run. They identified him. He is an Antifa. No, he is a strong Antifa guy. They've got proof on that. Well, in Seattle, around Seattle, yesterday they found him, and he decided to have a shootout with the police, and he didn't win. They killed him. So the murderer of the gentleman there in Portland, who is a member of a pro-Trump group, Patriot Prayer, who was murdered by this guy, his killer is now dead. He decided to shoot it out with the police. So that brings it to an end, except it won, you know, and I see posts from people that's they're so, you know, about how the right wing, the neo-Nazis are going in there, you know, even if, you know, that's because those are the only people that support Trump or you're racist. The outrage wasn't there when this man was killed. An unarmed man that, by the way, these guys gravitated to, shot him in cold blood, and there wasn't the outrage. Where was the outrage for that? Well, there wasn't. Because they didn't say it in words. But they were, you know, oh, well, you know, he was doing this and he was doing that. I mean, they were giving every reason in the world that it's okay to shoot somebody that's unarmed. Well, in the military, in combat, in the midst of combat, guns going off everywhere, you shoot somebody that's unarmed, that's, you know what, you're going to get in trouble. You don't kill unarmed people. And so we're talking about on the streets of Portland, my friends, unarmed people. And he was shot. This is the first one that was shot and murdered like that in Portland. With all the riots going on, all the damage, injuries, this is the first guy murdered. And I will paraphrase what James Fawson, who used to be a resident of Reading, and James unashamedly is a Democrat. When he called in, it was so he called into our show, and he said, you know what? There's somebody's going to be killed. Somebody's going to be killed here. We need the National Guard to at least restore order. And sure enough, James predicted it, and it happened. So when is it the time to take back the streets of Portland? Is it going to take another? Is it going to take another murder? Is it going to take a armed insurrection in the streets where you have two sides shooting at each other out there? And what about the civilians? What about the businesses moving out of Portland right now? And you know, you can say, well, it's in a, you know, it's kind of in an isolated area, but they've been pushing out now into the neighborhoods. So this, you know, is this something? Is this going to be the new normal in our country? You know, you don't see it in a place like, Denver's Department of Public Safety. New guy just appointed in June, and they had a riot there. He said, you know what? This is not going to happen here. We're going to arrest you, and we're going to put you in this building behind me, which was the jail. And if, you know what? And he says, and if that's not to your liking, we're going to put you in a state facility. We're going to send you to prison if you do this. Something tells me that in Portland, if you arrested maybe 70 people, maybe even less, but 70 to 80 people, and you put them, took them off the streets, that probably 90% of the problems in Portland would end. I'm not talking about the large protests. You know, you get hundreds and hundreds of people, but they're not destroying things. It's when it goes into the night, later into the night, that the thugs and the beast come out. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. Rob Burrows from the California Veterans or Historical Museum and is going to join us. They've got some big event coming up here. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. They are the proud, proud owners of the Da Vinci XI surgical robotic system. It helps enable the surgeons to perform minimally invasive surgery with an advanced set of instruments in a 3D high-definition view. Less pain, reduced risk, and a faster recovery time. All at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. We'll be right back after these messages. 7:30 in the morning, 70 degrees out there, going up to 102 today, but that's going to be the coolest day of the weekend by far.
Money talks, but it don't sing and dance, and it don't walk. Long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Dr. Farrell in Palo Cedro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palo Cedro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM talk radio. It's 72 degrees, going up to 102 today. Of course, Saturday's 106. And on my weather report here says 111 on Sunday and about 110 on Monday. So might be a good time to go to the lake, slather yourself with suntan lotion. You know, to prevent getting burned and find, you know, keep dipping into the water out there at Whiskey Town or Lake Shasta. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Northern Firearms Instruction is started right here in Reading by Ted Lighty, a retired command sergeant major of the Army. Most complete CCW training in Northern California, but also advanced training with your pistol. Also tactical carbine, rifle, how to shoot your rifle, accurately, unarmed combat, if that's something you'd like to learn. All of these come under Northern Firearms Instruction. Learn more at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 530-999-1822. Well, I'm here with one of my favorite people, Rob Burrows.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm well, thank you.
For people that don't know this, Rob and I were in Fallujah together, separately, but at the same place.
With Marine Corps and Seabees.
There you go.
Well, wrapped around tight.
Seabees, we look at Seabees as being...
We're adopted Marines.
Adopted. That's the right one.
That's right.
You're adopted into the Marine family because you guys are out there just like we are. Of course, you know, the Northern California Heritage Museum. I'm sorry.
Northern California Veterans Museum.
Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. You know what? It's only been 10 years, buddy. I'll get it eventually.
It's been 12 years.
You know what? You can make these letters just a little bit bigger. I've got pretty good vision, but that got me right there. How long have you been working on this?
We became a nonprofit in March 5th of 2008, so 12 years.
Yeah, right after we got back.
Yep.
And tell people, you know what, people go, okay, we've been here about a lot, but maybe not know how you've progressed through the years. So can you give a synopsis?
Well, when we started out with an idea and a concept, the whole idea is my father served during World War II, as yours did. And
my mom.
And just right, and your mother. Well, my mother worked for the Navy during the war also.
Yeah.
So I had all these items that were from my father. I have an original M1 carbine that came from Iwo Jima. My dad was on the USS President Adams. It was a Liberty ship. And they would haul Marines out to be fixed and bring new Marines in to drop them off for the next island warfare, everything. And so he traded with the Marines for all different kinds of things. And so this is one of the items that he brought back. And I thought to myself, I have this beautiful piece of American history, a critical history of our nation, and it's in my closet that I received from my father. How many other people have the same things? And so I went ahead and began. And when I came back from my first tour in Iraq, I came back with like six sea bags full of stuff from the invasion on Iraq.
Yeah, were they a little bit upset with the AK-47s and the Claymores?
Well, they didn't. There was a Master Chief that hid 12 AK-47s in the bottom of a shipping container.
Is that right?
And he got caught, and he went to Leavenworth for that.
Well, you know what? And people laugh, but I tell you what, when we come back, and you went through probably the same thing I did, we're redeploying out of Iraq, and we, first of all, you go through a big inspection and all this, and they sent us to Kuwait for 3 days, and kind of a...
Spooly down a little bit.
Yeah, kind of cool us down some, and then before we got on the plane, you know, you have your carry-ons, and you have your sea bags or whatever you have there, you dump all of it out. In along this line there, you know, in separated bins, and you go through it, and they're inspecting it.
They're looking for ammo.
They're looking
explosives,
for ammo. You know, because you know
bayonets.
What? Frankly, you know, you've got a lot of
guns.
Ammo on you, and you think that you know it could be, you know, you may be in an old uniform or what, but they go through there and they check it. and they check it, and they check it. And then it goes through the X-ray machines to make sure that nobody's bringing back ammo or we're armed to the teeth, but there's no ammo because everybody's carrying their firearms back with them.
Right, and it's negligent discharge. And other than people that are going to shoot people, they're just looking for negligent discharges.
Yeah, and the last thing you want is a pressurized aircraft heading home is somebody to pop a hole through the skin of the aircraft. So you go through all of these. And then when you get back to the States, they run you through another set of X-ray machines and all this. So they just want to make sure that nobody's accidentally, in these cases, they would be totally accidentally bringing something back.
Well, some of it would, but there was guys that tried to bring back 20 millimeters. I mean, you name it, all different kinds of things.
A Reading World War II vet came home with a duffel bag full of pistols. Well, my dad brought back
grenades.
And, that's why you still find World War II grenades and why would you bring a mortar round back? I'm still not sure why you would do that, but people did.
Because it goes in a museum.
I know of a family in the hills of Kentucky. I looked up and it was a P-38 World War II. It's the real grease guns. I think it's called. It could have been called something else, but he brought that back. That's what he had carried in World War II, and I went. And I was just a kid, and he goes, it's a machine gun. It's an, and he brought it back. So, but back then, in those days, you could buy.
It was a different world.
You could buy M1 rifles for like $10 a piece from the NRA or other places.
Right.
That had them for sale. They had, they just sold them to Americans. So, anyway, so. But you brought back the historical stuff. A lot of people brought back like helmets or parts of uniforms. I think I brought back the headphones and out of Saddam Hussein's helicopter. With the mic and all that. Because my cousin was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and I sent them to him.
I brought back two helmets, but I also brought back some silver with his palace insignias on it that actually was authorized to purchase.
Yeah.
There at the bazaar at Baghdad, and so I have two or three pieces of Spanish silver that I brought back, and those will be on display with the Iraqi display when we get that going. So. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you had this, and I've digressed going back to how we got back. Okay. So you brought this home, and you had your father's stuff.
And so I just went ahead and I displayed some of it in a pizza restaurant we had here in town. Best Choice Pizza was what we had. And so flags and things that we brought back from Iraq. And somebody came in. I think it was Kelly Frost. He and his wife came in. She goes, "Wow, you have a museum in here." And the light went on, and it went ding, 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 ding. We don't have a veterans museum in Northern California. And so I started looking into it, doing research and everything else, and found that other people had tried, but it hadn't happened yet, and that they were still working on it. And so I just dove into it and started working on it to make it happen, especially after my second tour. I mean, when I came back the second tour, there was all kinds of stuff that was brought back. So I found that if you shipped it through the AGDAG, with the mail, you could get it home. But if you brought it through the traditional way at the airplane, they took everything.
Yeah.
So there was bayonets and license plates and all that stuff you weren't supposed to bring back.
Well, what was it?
Pictures and documents that we found in the different deserted villages and maps.
Lots of maps.
Maps that had the insignia on there with the eagle from Saddam back into the 50s.
Yeah.
All kinds of really interesting things.
Yeah, we're talking about. We're not talking about going into people's houses and taking.
No, these were bunkers.
These are bunkers that, and when they went into Saddam's son's place there in Baghdad, it was amazing all the stuff they had in there. And these huge homes. He had like a room that was 1,000 square feet just in cigars. Now, most of those cigars were gone by that point anyway. Yeah, but
Marine smoke.
If you remember that TV show MASH and Radar O'Reilly. Was shipping home a Jeep piece by piece through the mails. Okay, let's take a quick break and we come back and catch up on where we are. And then you've got a fundraiser coming up. It's going to be on September 12th. It's going to be down at the Cottonwood Fire Station, the historic Cottonwood Fire Station. And it's going to be a drive-through barbecue fundraiser. And we'll talk about that too. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Maximal Insurance and Financial. You're hearing about how people are losing their insurance during all these fires. Judy finds insurance for homeowners. You haven't had a fire. You may be just on the fringe of it, but you're in that circle that the insurance companies are drawing, and they're canceling your homeowner's insurance. Call Judy Maxwell at 221-0441 Everybody that we've sent over there, other people have gone in. She has found them insurance at very reasonable rates. That's Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Been helping people since 1993. It, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, right next to Members First Credit Union. We'll be right back with Rob Burrows. Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Home Helpers of Reading is now hiring. They are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community and are looking to add to their award-winning team of caregivers. If you're interested in flexible hours with opportunities for full or part-time work, we invite you to apply to join the Home Helpers team. Apply today online at ReadingHomeHelpers.com or drop off your resume at 2620 Lexmer Lane. Reading Home Helpers, serving our community for 16 years, and we look forward to meeting you.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
Covenant Church of Spokane, Washington is being sued by Planned Parenthood for holding an outdoor church service monthly in a public area next to Planned Parenthood's building. And Pacific Justice Institute has filed papers to defend against this lawsuit.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
Back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM. Yeah, MASH. Just talking about MASH. 7:48 in the morning, Carl Bott. Here with Rob Burrows, who heads up the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And we've been talking about where he is right now. He started this 12 years ago. And with kind of an epiphany, that says, I have some stuff, other people have stuff, and we don't. There's no museum up here. So now we've got like 12 minutes left, so go for it.
Okay, so we had the museum building out at the Reading Airport. We were there. Yes. We opened that in 2009.
Great.
We ended up having to shut that down in 2013 because another individual bought the building and raised the rent. We weren't able to stay there.
Right.
So we opened up a store on Bocelli Lane, and we were there for 2 years. So it was called Eagles Landing, and it was the museum store and helped support that program.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, two wonderful things happened. We had the old Bank of America building in Anderson donated to us by Josette Mather, and for in honor of her father, who was a D-Day veteran. And so it is the memorial. It is the Joe P. Gonzalez World War II Memorial Building offices of the Northern California Veterans Museum.
Okay.
And that was a $300,000 donation to us, free of cost. We went through and renovated it, got it all cleaned up, and turned it into our offices and displays. And then the property came for the on top of the hill, which is on top of Cottonwood Hill. We purchased 5.5 acres.
And that's across the, from the Walmart area?
It's just south of Walmart or across from the neighborhood church.
Got it. Okay.
And so we are right there on that pinnacle. It's just a beautiful view of the whole valley. You can see the Sundial Bridge from there. It's just a fantastic place. And so we're working with the county to put everything together. We're working on phase one. Our biggest issue right now is getting the well certified so we can get phase one taken care of. They won't let us do anything until we have water at the property. And so we have a private well for commercial use. We're in the middle of that certification, and as soon as that's done, then boom, we can continue to move forward with the use permit.
Now, you haven't started drilling yet, or you have drilled it?
No, the well's already there. It's already there and in place with the houses, because we have houses that are there.
Okay.
The rental houses are actually paying for the property for the museum during this time frame, because there's no other way we could do it otherwise.
Okay. So there are rental houses on the property.
Right.
So you bought all the property, including the rental houses.
Correct.
Okay.
And so
I didn't know that.
We're running it as a business. So, I mean, those houses are paying the mortgage plus.
Okay.
So we have a positive income all the time coming in from that. And then in February, we found out that the Cottonwood Old Historic Firehouse was coming up for sale. They contacted us and said, hey, it's going up for bid if you're interested in it. We put our bid price in through the month of February. And March 5th, it closed, and we were the only one that bid on it. And we picked that facility up for $40,000.
Okay.
So that's 6,000-square-foot facility, and it is now the Northern California Veterans Museum restoration facility for all of the projects that we're working on. So we have cars in there. We have jet engines in there. We have statues
in there. Great storage area in there, too.
Yeah, 6,000 square feet.
Okay.
And so we have all these different items that we've had in other storages are now in there being restored. And it's just a great – just a fantastic offer. It was a godsend to us. There's no other way around it. And so this is where we're going to have the barbecue. It'll be right there at the old historic firehouse because we have plenty of room and almost a quiet street to drive down for this whole event.
Yeah, that's on Brush Street there in Cottonwood.
And we'll have the MASH ambulance will be out in front, and we'll have some displays with the MASH ambulance. So if people want to get out and take a look, they're outdoor displays. Mm-hmm. And so it's just going to be a really nice introduction back into the community with this facility.
Okay, so you're going to have a drive-through, which is really a good way of doing it. And because so many places, you still can't have large gatherings. You still can't do, have the MASH Bash. And
right. These, I mean, we've lost out on 5 major events this year.
And, all the nonprofits and everybody's running into that. We had to cancel the Marine Corps Ball this year.
I heard you say that.
Yeah, because we can't find a place that will hold the amount of people we have.
We should just rent a big tent and have it outside.
We're not going to change.
It's just like a bit. It's like a dining out.
They did have.
It's like a Marine Corps dining out.
When I first came here, they had a Marine Corps ball in a tent out there on one of the golf courses, a huge tent and all that. But we haven't. Anyway, okay. So this is going to be Saturday, September 12th, 2020. You can get a barbecue sandwich, beans, drink for $10.
For $10.
A hot dog or a chili dog with chips and a drink for $5.
That's right. So you can take care of any part of the family with a great meal, and all the proceeds come right back to the museum. And part of our programs is the Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services and Silver Star Widows. So we're continuing to help those veterans coming back. And in our community, and then our elderly veterans that are in need also. This last week we packed 135 boxes that we're shipping overseas. And so we'll be shipping those overseas, kind of like a Christmas in July type of a deal.
Right.
And then we just packed another 10 cases of items, large cases of boxes and items, and those will be going to the veterans' home. We'll be helping to take care of the individuals at the veterans' home that don't always get a lot of income coming in.
Yeah.
So this is items to help offset their costs. So
you guys,
we are busy in the community.
I know you all. Yeah, you all are continually doing that. I remember that one time down at the vets hall. I don't know how many hundred people we had there that night. But the table stretched all around the circumference of that hall, the inside of that hall.
We shipped 2,000 boxes at that time.
I mean, people were rolling on that. Now, again, it's going to be September 12th. Saturday, September 12th. That's a week from this Saturday.
Correct, from tomorrow.
It's going to be down in Cottonwood at the historic Cottonwood Fire Station that's on Brush Street. It's a drive through, so you don't have to even get out of your car. They'll deliver it to you. It's $10 for a pulled pork meal. And by the way, I've had these before from from the museum, and they're absolutely outstanding. That'll be $10 with barbecue, beans, and beans.
Lots of grilled onions.
Grilled onions, drink. Or if you just want the hot dog there, your kids want a hot dog, it's $5 per hot dog meal, and that includes chili dogs.
Right.
So, and chips and a drink. So, and again, this,
very reasonable.
This is all the funds go back into the museum.
We want to remind you, it's not the new fire station on 4th Street.
No, it's not the new one.
It's downtown on
Brush Street.
Yeah, Front Street and Brush Street, right there in the corner.
You know, I was down in Cottonwood yesterday, and I didn't realize that 4th Street, when you turn onto 4th Street, it becomes Gas Point Road.
Right.
So I'm looking for Gas Point Road out there, and I'm looking at the map, and I'm saying, it's got to be around here someplace.
When you get off and go to the right, it's Gas Point.
It said 4th Street. I made the right, and then on the other side, it goes, and then it says Gas Point Road, even though it says 4th Street. And, it took me like 10 minutes to figure that one out, and I'm going, it's right here, but where's Gas Point Road?
You need your Blue Force tracker.
Yeah, I needed something. I needed to be able to. Next time, I'm just taking paper maps. You know, these things where they try and lead you to it is just, you know, remarkably bad. Okay, when's the next phase when we break ground?
Okay, right now, once we get the authorization from our well, the next phase is to submit that authorization and information to Shasta County Environmental Health, and then we can move forward. And also, we're working with California Department of Drinking Water, and they are also verification of water in the community for public use.
Okay.
And so those three organizations that we're working with, that's what we're trying to make happen. So as soon as we finish getting the rest of the tests from Lawrence and Associates, we're working with them. They're our hydrologist.
Can you read that? That's glaring for me.
Sorry.
What's it say?
It just, someone wanted to know where they can send donations for troops overseas.
Right now we're taking those, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday mornings at the fire station or the firehouse in Cottonwood. We're there, in the mornings when it's cool, we are in the process of rebuilding a 30-foot destroyer that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, model, one of a kind. We're working on the vehicles and things like that. So, if you'd like to make a donation of any kind, we're accepting those donations at the firehouse in Cottonwood from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m. is usually when we're there, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then the museum phone number is 378-2280, 378-2280, if you'd like to leave a message, because I'm not in there every day. So I'll get the messages and then call you back then.
Hey, if I win the big lotto, we're building that.
And it'll be in honor of your mother and father.
That's right. That's right. And that'd be cool. So
we haven't had any fundraisers since February. So if you get a chance to come out and have a great meal, I can guarantee you these are going to be really good sandwiches.
You know what? If you can't make it out that day, you can still send a donation of $10.
Yeah,
or the amount for a couple meals and send it to the Veterans Museum here, because money all goes to a good cause. And I tell you what, Rob's been doing this. I mean, at first he seemed like Don Quixote, you know.
Still feels like Don Quixote.
You know, going for the windmill, but you've made incredible progress, especially in the last few years. And can you imagine having a museum up here on the top of that hill that has, you know, not only has all the great stuff you have in your vehicles, you've got everything, but also once it's established like that, the people that have come through, but all the other types of donations that you can get of World War II, Iraq, Afghanistan, all that kind of stuff that people also have. You know, I've got some stuff. You know, I've got a Saddam map and flags and stuff that just kind of sit in a footlocker.
That's right, and it's a lot of the stuff that we received from World War II is footlockers that have been there until the veteran died and the family has finally found them and they're donating them. There's so much history going in the trash right now. The kids and the grandkids, they don't know that there's any value. They don't care that there's any value. And we just had another World War II collection that was donated to us. The veteran died. The grandchildren threw his medals, his Purple Heart, and everything in the trash. that caregiver taught and pulled all of it out of the trash and donated it to the museum, and that was out of weed. It happens every day. If we don't keep it, our history's just gone. So we have to say thank you to those.
That's right. People
give us our freedom.
People are so quick to change history. So now we're building a historical place. So, hey, Rob, thanks a lot. Again, it's Saturday, September the 12th at the historic Cottonwood Fire Station on Brush Street there. It goes from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's a drive-through barbecue fundraiser with pulled pork sandwiches and hot dogs. And for more information, call 378-2280.
Thank you, Carl, once again. Appreciate being here.
Amen. And by the way, Rob shows tomorrow.
Battlefield Expressions.
Yeah, 9 to 11. There
awesome.
You go.
Yep.
Okay, we'll be right back. And hopefully Congressman Lamoff will be calling in.
Okay.
Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The U.S. job market getting back on its feet. After the coronavirus pandemic, the government reports that employers grew their payrolls by close to 1.4 million jobs last month, with the unemployment rate sliding to 8.4%.
The Labor Department says the jobless rate dropped by 1.8% as employers added 1.4 million jobs. The number of jobs added in August was down from 1.7 million in July as employers added the fewest jobs since the pandemic began. The U.S. economy has recovered about half the 22 million jobs lost to the pandemic.
That's correspondent Jeremy House, correspondent Greg Clugston at the White House.
Reacting to the Labor Department report showing the addition of 1.4 million jobs in August, the president tweets great jobs numbers, and he's cheering a drop in the unemployment rate to 8.4%. He writes, wow, much better than expected. Broke the 10% level faster and deeper than thought possible.
Mail-in voting getting underway. North Carolina is sending out roughly 600,000 ballots to voters who have requested them. Those voters, overwhelmingly Democrats and independents. The number of ballots sent out in North Carolina is sharply higher than at this time 4 years ago. Just a quarter of the electorate cast ballots by mail in 2016, and this time around, elections officials expect the majority to do so. A man wanted in the shooting death of a counter-protester in Portland, Oregon last weekend has been shot and killed by police in Washington State. Michael Reinhold was shot after allegedly aiming a gun at federal officers. The 48-year-old fugitive was cornered in Lacey, Washington. That's about 120 miles north of Portland, which is about to see its 100th straight night of unrest in the streets. Wall Street, the Dow down 484 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You are in the middle of nowhere. No one knows where you are. And it's going to stay that way.
When his country abandoned him for sharing his beliefs, his freedom became her mission, inspired by true events. Don't miss Infidel, the new heart-racing political thriller starring Jim Caviezel. After being kidnapped in the Middle East, one man must hold on to his faith to survive, and his wife must find the courage to never stop fighting for him. See Infidel, only in theaters September 18th.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
This is not time for a spiritual awakening.
I need to be the man that God made me to be.
From the creators of God's Not Dead, the new movie, One Nation Under God.
We can do anything with faith. We can accomplish anything with faith.
Winner of 35 Film Festivals starring Kevin Sorbo and Antonio Sabato Jr. One Nation Under God. Go to SalemNow.com to purchase and use promo code MOVIE for 20% off.
A Dutch appeals court has cleared a controversial far-right politician accused of stirring up discrimination and hatred against Moroccans.
During a campaign rally in The Hague in 2014, Geert Wilders asked a cafe full of supporters whether they wanted more or fewer Moroccans in this city and the Netherlands. The audience responded by chanting, fewer, 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 and the populist politician replied, well then, we will arrange that. This, the appeals judges agreed, was insulting to the 400,000 people of Moroccan ancestry in the Netherlands. However, they cleared him of incitement to discriminate. From the start, Geert Wilders, who was in court to hear the verdict, has described the charges as politically motivated.
That's the BBC's Anna Holligan. The search for victims of last month's massive explosion in Beirut has resumed. This after a sniffer dog belonging to a Chilean search team detected something in the rubble. News and analysis at townhall.com. Daimler Chrysler stepping up U.S. testing of self-driving vehicles.
The automaker, along with allied vehicle software company Torque Robotics, is expanding their testing of self-driving trucks to public roads in New Mexico along major long-haul freight routes. A new testing center in Albuquerque will be the base for automated runs for 18-wheel vehicles with autonomous driving technologies supported by a human driver and a safety conductor. Daimler's autonomous technology group hopes to commercialize self-driving trucks within a decade. Ron DeRockstra reporting.
The late Chadwick Boseman has been mourned, honored, and celebrated in his hometown of Anderson, South Carolina, the city paying tribute to the actor in a public memorial last evening. Boseman died last week at age 43, following a four-year and very private battle with colon cancer, honored as a hometown hero who brought a sense of pride to Anderson. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. It is Friday. Yay! The 4th of September, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. That's our friends down there at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. I'm here with Jared at the helm. And good morning, Jared.
Good morning. And you want to hear the weather, so it is currently...
You don't have to, but yeah.
It's currently 72 degrees. Today it's going to be a high of 101, a low of 67. On Saturday, a high of 105, a low of 72. Sunday, a high of 110, a low of 74. And on Labor Day, a high of 109 and a low of 73.
Okay. Weather reports brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson, been there for about 25 years. Chuck and Judy Kenny built this business and have continued to expand it, have won awards from the state, the state level awards for hiring veterans. They provide just outstanding service and discounts for seniors and veterans. That's Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. 8:06 in the morning. As Jared told you, it's going to be 102 today, 106 tomorrow, 111 Sunday and Monday. So you may want to take a look at staying inside if you can, or if you should. A lot of things that are happening. Yeah, can you believe it's like 59 days to the election? Are we going to have an election? Oh, you laugh, but are we?
Are you genuinely asking me?
Yeah. Are we having going to have an election?
Pretty sure.
Okay. This is what I see happening. With all these mail-in ballots. And, you know, frankly, I don't have a lot of confidence in mail-in ballots. Not absentee ballots. If they were done like absentee ballots, where you register and, you go through the mechanics of that, that's one thing. I used absentee ballots. And a lot of people have signed up for, to be able to, that they can vote that way. But when you mail out millions and millions of ballots, you can't tell me that, and you can't tell me that that's going to work perfectly. And then, even if it works, how long is it going to take to count these little devils? Here in Reading, Kathy Darling Allen has set us up so we can, vote at a polling place. So you can go down there and make sure your ballot gets in there. But do you have any faith that hundreds of millions of ballots are all going to make it where they're supposed to? On the phone is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And I don't know if you heard what I just said, Congressman, but is there any... I'm having a faith problem here that all of those millions of mailed-in ballots are going to end up where they're supposed to. Hello? sir?
Well, yeah, that's the...
Am I being paranoid? Oh, should I not be paranoid about this?
No, because there's funny business all the time. Now, there's those on the left that will say there's never been voter fraud, and those on the right that say it's really rampant. So I think what you have is the Postal Service can handle the volume. It's just a matter of ethical problems, just the way it's handled. You see everything from how, you know, the ballot envelope is marked with an R or a D on it there, and so you see photos of ballots that are in utter campaign mail that gets thrown away and such like that. So I think the most important thing, and the focus has been shifted away from what it really should be, is that we should be cleaning up the voter rolls to begin with before anything is mailed out.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, there's not a very good job of taking the deceased off the voter rolls, people that have moved. And the example I use is when we're out campaigning and you decide to, you know, take your list and go to an apartment complex. Well, you can go through there, you know, an 80-unit complex or whatever, and most of the names, the people don't live there anymore, yet that is still on the most updated list, the names that they're using to keep track of voters. Therefore, under this guise, all those addresses are going to receive ballots. So now you have the situation where the manager of the apartments is going to have all these ballots that get mailed there just willy-nilly and with no recipients. And so do you think the Democrats don't know how that works, that they aren't going to send somebody around to pick up those ballots under the now legal in California ballot harvesting scheme? That's what I tend to worry about, because, you know, they're willing to do that. The left is willing to cheat on that. And our side isn't too enamored with the ballot harvesting anyway, because, you know, Dems can go knock on a Democrat door and say, hey, you got your ballot? Why don't you give it to us? They're more likely to comply. Do you think Republicans, the ones we know around here, somebody comes up to the door and says, it shows you still have your ballot, and you might hear a clicking sound instead of a reply, you know?
Oh, no. You know what? That's us. We're just, you know, a gun-crazy group up here. You know,
I'm not handing anybody my ballot. I don't care.
And we, luckily,
who they are.
Yeah. Here in Shasta County, we can vote down at our polling stations. And I take a great deal of pride, Linda and I do, walking down there, marking our ballot, and watching it be counted. Everybody I know under this thing where the mail-in ballots are all saying the same thing. No, I'm taking mine down. I want to make sure it gets counted.
Almost everybody I know is saying that too. So,
yeah.
And certainly you can have somebody carry it for you these days. So, and watch it get dropped into a box at the county clerk's office or wherever they have designated boxes around town. You know, this isn't so much to impugn U.S. Postal Service as it is the process of making sure the voter rolls are clean. But, you know, these days the Postal Service has problems. You know, there's issues there. They're paying people overtime and their backlog. You know, we can blame a lot of stuff on this virus nonsense we're going through. And, but really, really, I mean, if people think they want to mail in their ballot, then I would do it 2 weeks before the election, just to make sure that it's got plenty of time to get there. And so, and for most of the measures on the ballot, I think people have their minds made up. The question comes down to local races where maybe you don't know who's running for school board. Maybe you don't know who the judges are. If there's a judge, that's on the state ballot this time. So, and the propositions by, you know, we haven't seen the blitz of nonsense that's going to come on the TV about how up is down and down is up on the propositions that come out, because we're going to have two tax measures, Prop 15 and Prop 19. Change in some fashion or another how property tax is done, and they're very deceptively worded on the ballot. Thank you, Xavier Becerra. Ever since he's been, well, our last three or four attorneys attorneys general of California have played into manipulating the ballot title and ballot description language to go the liberal way. You know, the last dinosaur we had was Dan Lungert. You'll remember Dan Lungert as a general, and he actually tried to play it straight and honest, and so when he enforced gun laws that were the law of the land of California, people were yelling at him, why are you doing that? Because he's, he was, his job as the attorney general to uphold the laws that are put in place in the legislative process. So anyway, long story short, they're very manipulated as they're on the ballot nowadays. So
I think I actually saw a judge the other day said that the title of one of the ballots was very deceptive, and they had to make it. They made a change. They made the attorney general change it here in California. So
yeah, I haven't seen that.
You know how so you know how egregious that must have been.
Yeah,
we're here with
they're running out of time to print the ballots. I know they're going to have to print them any day, and that's fine. But you know, I think in Jackson County, you've got a dispute going on between a couple candidates over something, and so that's going to make the printing a challenge if that is going to hold up on how one of those designations is going to go.
Yeah, whether businessman or not. But I think that Kathy Darlin Allen, they took a look at it. They looked at what he had, and they said, yeah, this is a business. So they went along with it. There was some confusion.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway.
You're right. And that seems just to me, too. But, you know, they didn't ask me. So.
Well, they don't ask me either. So, but I feel free to put in my 2 cents worth any chance I get. We're with Congressman Doug Lamar.
Well, your 2 cents used to be welcomed in the country here. But with Antifa and people like that, your 2 cents is going to cost you a quarter to get out there, right?
Well, we're still trying to keep our expenses low here at KCNR. You know, we're trying to so we can make it easier on our community that way, and we don't have to please boards of directors in Oklahoma and New York. We just have to please Linda and I. Hey, we're here with mainly it's Linda. You know, when it gets right down to it.
Well, that's the smartest pick.
There you go. I have learned something in my life. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. Sir?
Okay,
we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Congressman Doug LaMalfa. I'd like to talk about what he sees going on in our nation today. You know, at some point, we got to mention Nancy Pelosi getting her hair blown out. And other things that you see that are coming up, you know, because of the election or as the result of the election, that you can, after sitting in Congress, thinking that, you know, these are things that could happen or would happen right after this break. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full service jewelry store in Reading. Great people down there. They have a fine selection at very fair prices. Very successful store. Four Winds Jewelry. We'll be right back.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, We've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Experience the one and only luxury Cadillac Escalade ESV.
Play our cash and Cadillac swipe to win promotions.
Swipe daily for free slot play and prizes.
Weekly drawings Thursdays at 7, 8, and 9 p.m.
Winners receive bonus entries into the final drawing.
Grand prize drawing Thursday, October 29th.
Win a one-of-a-kind 2020 Cadillac Escalade ESV.
A legend reimagined with an exceptional design made for your comfort. Details at WinRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Welcome back to P5 Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567, 72 degrees out there, going up to 102 today, 106 tomorrow, 111 Sunday and Monday. Yeah, stand by. This portion of the show brought to you by Craftmaster Windshield Repair, a veteran-owned business right here in town. Nobody knows more about repairing windshields than Jeff does down at Craftmaster Windshield Repair. You can call him for 241-8373 for an appointment or stop by 3208 South Market Street, a veteran-owned business, a man of integrity, Jeff Horst. We're here with Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And, you know, Congressman, one of the questions that came in during the break was, are you, you know, we talk about ballot tampering on the Democrat side. Are you concerned about the Republican side?
Doing what?
Ballot tampering.
No, we're too, I don't know. I mean, there's this saying around that goes around that we're the stupid party and the Democrats are the evil party. You know, that's a self thing that the Republicans say. So I don't know that we would ever try and do any of that stuff on the Republican side. I don't mean to use we on that, but anybody in our group, I just don't see that being the way, you know. So, ballot tampering? No, it's really coming down to. I believe there's a lot of folks that associate themselves with the Dems that say any way, any means justifies the ends, because they believe their cause is so righteous that it just doesn't matter. I'm following the rules, and you know we always follow the rules, and even so much as you know rejecting this concept of ballot harvesting, you know. Our side doesn't really want to do that. It doesn't seem right. But on the other hand, it's been legal by bad laws passed by the state legislature. I remember some of that stuff going through when I was in the state senate, and I was a member of the Elections and Constitutional Amendments Committee. And sometimes I was the only Republican in the room, and when these bills were going through committee and objecting and raising my hand and saying, "Well, wait a minute, there's issues, there's problems here with this concept," and you know, on it goes. So, I just don't see our side being the cheater side. So,
well,
sorry, listeners, but it's just we just don't operate that way. And it's I mean, politicians find dumb ways to do dumb things, but that probably really isn't going to be the forte of the Republicans. You know.
Congressman, with the
is that too honest of an answer there?
No, that's how you feel. I'd rather you tell me exactly how you feel than try to make people feel better. You know, it makes me feel better if you're straight and say, you know what, I don't think that's happening on our side. We're not the ones that passed the ballot harvesting. We're not the ones that passed this thing that said all of our electoral college votes goes for the winner of the state. I mean that right there negates, that can negate 49.5% of all the votes in California, winner take all.
Yeah, your vote in your state would now mean nothing.
Yeah, it means nothing.
In the majority, if they do that scheme. And, you know, I had Republican colleagues thought, this would be a great idea. Now, I don't know, back when I was in the assembly.
You're breaking up.
I think they're getting paid by some lobbying part of that or something. So that, you know, that was dirty. I thought, what are you talking about, man? Because this is the only, I mean, it was part of the reason that we even had our Union of States form back in the 1700s. Without that provision, there were small states that we're not forming up with the large states that are going to run over us all the time. And the Electoral College, the U.S. Senate, in order to have an evening out effect between big states and small states were a couple components of those original constitutional thoughts.
Congressman, now with, I mean.
And one more would be Washington, D.C. not being a state, you know, and that's something the House just passed. Maybe the first time, I can't remember all the history of that. I don't know if that's ever been passed.
I think that was the first time.
99% for political manipulation, because at the current rate, they know, the Democrats know, that they're guaranteed by about 85 or 90% vote count to have two Democrat senators, you know. And that's what they're after on this thing. It's really clear in the Constitution and founding documents, Washington, D.C., is not to be a state, so it cannot be coerced by whatever state actions would go on. You know, it wasn't contained within a state to begin with. They got Maryland and Virginia to deed over some land, so it would not be within one of those existing states. And there's just no reason for it other than political manipulation. So,
of course,
a solution to that would be there's a whole bunch of residential area of Washington, D.C. that could be deeded back to, I believe, Maryland at this time. And they could be part of a state if they want, you know. But it's kind of like, you know, when you move in next to the airport, you got to expect that there's going to be airplane sounds. When you move and reside in D.C., you're going to expect that there's certain things that go along with that. It's just like, to me, if you're going to move into any big city, you're going to figure, like, it's going to stink. You're going to have crime. And nowadays, if you were to move into Seattle or Portland, you better expect that probably half your property can be burned down. So,
well, that brings us to my next point. We've seen rising levels of violence. I mean, we don't. When you think of Portland, you think of burning. Even though that you know, it's a large city and it's kind of contained. And one of the people that lived up there called down here, who's a Democrat, and said he was in fear. He was fearful of what was happening in Portland, and he thought it was time for the National Guard. And that was before that guy got killed. What is your take on this continuing violence, and is it going to escalate? I've read things where they're talking about putting a whole lot of people around the White House and just staying there protesting President Trump. The rising levels of violence in New York and all these other cities. Is there concern in the House about this and, you know, in Congress about this?
I think there's concern in most people I know's front room when they are watching the news about this. And I'm not sure when it stops. And when you have Kamala Harris preaching, like, well, we don't expect it to stop before or after Election Day. She's actually basically advocating for that. When you have others out there saying that, well, you know, Hillary Clinton, I don't know why we still have to hear from her, but she's out there saying Biden should not concede ever on this. So it's funny because she was the one in 2016 that said, will you ever accept the results of the election? And she didn't, and she doesn't expect Biden to. And that brings up just an interesting little sidebar anyway. You know, people, candidates, whatever, say, well, they didn't concede. Like, well, it doesn't matter who concedes or who says, hey, I'm the winner. The results come out from the counting of the ballots and the certification of the count 30 days after the election that the, county clerk's offices do. The elections are all supposed to be certified by 30 days, you know. And so we didn't see that in Florida because of the hanging chads back in 2000, but by and large, that's what it's supposed to be. So if you want to worry about something, I suppose getting the elections certified within 30 days of November 3 will be a challenge. But, you know, I mean, I wouldn't really want to worry a lot about that, because with the mail-in ballots, if they're not there, you know, they all have to be postmarked by the day of the election. They've lowered the bar to that now.
Right.
So, and they have some grace period of 3 to 5 days after November 3 to arrive at the elections office. You know, that's very arbitrary at this point here, because, like, well, they're going to count 3, 4, or 5 days after 6 days,
mm-hmm.
what have you. But even in that case, the lion's share of the ballots are already going to be in by that point. So a few strays after the third, fourth, fifth isn't going to be the biggest challenge for the registrars. So the integrity issue comes back to who have had ballots sent to them. And hopefully there's a clean date of cutoff after that election day, you know, wait for the mail to come in. So maybe it'd be November 8th, and then you know, they'll probably have 97% of the ballots in by November 3 or, you know, a couple days after the election, and then whatever, again, as I mentioned, a couple strays, you know, it won't be a big deal to process.
Mm-hmm.
So I still believe that we can get the election certified by 30 days after, unless people play games, you know, like, let's see, these apartment buildings I was talking about. Maybe they'll find boxes of ballots or something. Oh, what do we do with these? You know, people's constitutional right is being, you know, suppressed. Like, well, I mean, there is a responsibility to get your ballot in, and everybody should know that, hey, it's election season. And the responsibility used to be you had to turn your ballot in by either voting in person at a precinct by 8 p.m. on election night or hand your absentee ballot in someplace by election night, or you had to drop it in the mail soon enough so it arrived by election night in the regular mail. You know, people used to have to be responsible. Now you can be, you know, about as irresponsible as a college student trying to get a term paper out at the last minute or cramming for a final at 8 a.m. after partying all night. You know, I mean, that's really what it starts to resemble. Like, you know, we're allowing people just to be irresponsible and not have a clear set of rules to maintain election integrity.
Hey, Congressman, we have to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about, you know, okay, kind of we've talked about the election and this. I've seen some press releases, some of the things that are happening, some of the issues that you're working on for the North State. Can we discuss those when we get back?
Sure.
Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, a community-oriented bank, locally owned, locally operated, local board of directors. They've done so much for our community when that PPP came out, the Paycheck Protection Program, and helping save thousands of jobs around here. And they were able to get millions of dollars out to businesses here, not just to their customers, but to any of our citizens here that needed help. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. You can learn more at bankcornerstone.com, but realize that they are moving dreams forward, even during all this that's going on with the COVID. We'll be right back with Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Your friendly oil change, Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearm Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. 8:34 in the morning here on Friday, the 4th of September. 74 degrees going up to 102 today. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans, 365-3793. Bastiani Arms is bringing us this segment. Bastiani Arms got and some more firearms. And in fact, we're heading down there today. Just take a look at some of the stuff they have. If you're looking for a place that has great customer service and they know what they're talking about, and veterans, you get discounts at Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur, right here in Ready. You can call them at 222-8222. On the phone is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And, Congressman, there's, you know, the work still goes on in Congress. And I've gotten several press releases that some of the things, well, you know, okay, you're chuckling. It's because I used the word work in House of Representatives. I've been getting a number of press releases from Savannah. There's a lot of things that seem to be moving through anyway.
We're moving things at an executive level, or things that are already in place with funding that came from, say, the Farm Bill and USDA, you know, loans and grants and things like that. So that's indeed, you have to find how can you be productive in an unproductive time. And with Mrs. P in charge, I haven't seen the kind of disarray in the House during my almost 8 years that we've had the last two, which it's really hard just to get to, you know, when a roll call is called for a vote, when you see it on TV on C-SPAN, you see it's 15 minutes, right,
mm-hmm.
for everybody to get there. And it's really become a lot longer than that, you know, a congressional standard time. Now, under Republican regime, it'd be the first vote would generally be about 25, because you got guys, you know, coming from a long ways to get their office to the floor, and, you know, maybe some lunch or whatever. So, but the disarray is really something else. They don't know what they're doing, and you know, it's pretty easy to get duped by going into a salon these days. So it's probably pretty that much harder to run things like the House of Representatives, for example. So,
I didn't know that was closed. I didn't know it was closed. They didn't tell me. Okay, I'm sorry.
Sure.
You know, Congressman, I saw that.
Hairgate is going to kind of be a pretty big deal for them. So,
well, I saw where the lady...
Plain, you know.
The lady owns a salon is getting death threats.
As you campaign here... I mean, it's more and more dumb reasons why I guess people are voting for or against somebody. And, you know, I'm with the president. He's clearly different than Joe Biden. He's clearly going to take you into a different direction. But, yeah, I guess that's not your line of questioning right now. So,
well, you know, one of the things I saw was the, we don't think about it, but the rural health providers. You made an announcement about there's a lot of money that came up here to Northern California to help our rural health clinics.
Well, because you know, we struggle here being able to attract young new doctors or those that would be that we need to locate here, and I don't quite understand that because our lifestyle and quality of life is so much better than what we're seeing in the burn down areas, but you know, there's still that issue. So with the teaching health centers and other aspects we've supported, it helps infuse more young physicians and would-be physicians, you know, that are becoming them to come here and to stay here. And when you show them the quality of life, I think we can, you know, attract a lot more that would stay here in our it's hard for them with volume, and especially this COVID restriction situation that we're in. I mean, you know, Carl, you can put any phrase you want in front of the second half of the phrase that in order to, let's see, how do you word? In order to slow the spread of the COVID virus, put anything you want in front of that and they can get away with it in government, okay? We're going to close the fairs. The Intermountain Fair, people are really upset right now up in MacArthur that just a couple of days ago,
the county, at the behest of the state, pulled the pin on doing a lot of the normal activities they would do there. So the excuse of using the COVID virus is something that's been weaponized by Sacramento to stop a lot of normal activity that people can figure out around here, you know.
The people in the Northern California region, because our numbers are so much lower, with the, you know, an exception down there in Butte County, people are getting to the, you know, they're starting, that push has now come to shove. Now, luckily, we just, because we're in that low numbers, we were able to open up our restaurants at very low numbers, but still open up our restaurants and movie theaters and all this. According to the governor's own guidance, we should have never been shut down. Is, you know, but I believe you're actually, you know, you're absolutely right. You can say anything in front of to slow the spread of COVID, and they can do anything they want, which has resulted in everything.
Because you know, it's really cynical, and you might say conspiratorial, or whatever. But I believe a big part of this is to influence the election, because there's no, I mean, how do they stand there and look these people in the eye that have a small business that knows how to reopen, even at half speed? And that is a sacrifice right there. Running a restaurant at half speed is not really profitable. And some businesses, you can do that. You can, you know, lower your hours, or, you know, have some staff that you don't bring in, you know, and just try and do things at a minimum. But certain things don't allow for that. Restaurants would be one of them. You know, once you open the doors, it's open, and people got to come in or not. So it is kind of a form of tyranny, and I'm using this form of Sacramento.
The different things that happen up here in the North State, you know, the rural, you know, money for the rural areas. You've been working on fire and the wild forest management. And how to face this thing, because as you know, we're burning up here, as we are in all of California. Has there been any work done that way to try and gain control again of our environment, where we can start thinning all the you know, the federal land, and ways to make it easier for the state lands?
Well, amazingly, the state and federal government have got together and had an agreement that was announced about a week ago or so to collaborate on trying to do that kind of thinning work and fuel removal work on 1 million acres. So that was, in a way, kind of historic, especially during the feud between the governor and the president, that the feds and state can cooperate on anything of that nature. Now, I should say, you know, the cooperation has been pretty good on emergency issues here. The California OES and Homeland Security and all the other entities have done a pretty good job of working together, I'd say, on the disasters we've had recently, you know, whether it's Orville Dam spillway or car fire, camp fire, and the other ones that don't generate the same amount of headlines, you know, it's been all right. So to see that move is encouraging. And again, it didn't require legislation being passed by the House or something. It was something that was able to be done by already empowered executive action. And in this case, putting the pieces together to move that direction. So, I mean, it ought to be obvious to anyone, and, you know, maybe the state level, they've gotten enough political pressure every time we have a fire season like this that they have to acknowledge they're going to have to push back on the environmentalists enough to get something like this done.
The continuing, you know, battle over water that we're having, the raising of the dam, has that ended? The raising of Shasta Dam, is that over?
No. The Secretary of Interior, Department of Interior, still really wants that project, and so that I don't. You know, and our constituents up there, they say, "Man, could people just decide which one so I can figure out what I'm going to do with my property, or what's the property value going to be if there's a zone where the 18-foot might affect it, you know, an 18-foot raise?" And so the federal government at this point wants to do it. Nobody at the state level wants to do it. They're going to throw the roadblocks they can, whether it's State Water Resources Control Board or try and use environmental tools to stop it, what have you. So it's not a certain answer. I mean, the federal government, you know, publicly elected, I think there will continue to be push. If he's not, then the Kamala Harris and Joe Biden administration will put a quick end to it and also put on fast forward the tearing out of the dams up farther up north on the Klamath and pretty much any dam around the state that that they feel is not meeting the environmental cause. I think maybe the only safe ones might be Lake Oroville and Shasta Dam of not being torn out. But mark my words, there will be crazies that come out within 10 years and say that, and then the more often you repeat it, the more it becomes a reality. They may be talking about that in 25 years, you know. So.
Yeah. The Sykes Reservoir, is that going to happen?
I still believe it will happen. Money's been certified that the voters passed in a Proposition 1, I think, what year is it, 2008. I lose track of what year these things are. There's an amount of money there. Again, the state's dragging its heels, and the U.S. Department, the state Fish and Game are trying to throw up roadblocks at that. So they downsized a little bit the scope of the project so they could stay, not run afoul of what basically one guy in the Department of Fish and Game was saying. So the original plan had 1.9 million acre feet for sites, and if we downsize it to 1.5, we don't build the third access for pumping water in and out. If we don't do those two things, the price goes down, and they won't run into fish water temperature issues nearly as much, and so they can neutralize the Fish and Game on that project. So mm-hmm. they moved in that direction. So they'll get a cheaper project, won't hold quite as much, but it's modular enough they can add to it later when people come to their senses a little more on how important storing water is in the state.
Okay, because that's one of the things that you would think that would, that everybody could agree on, is that we need more water storage, but...
Well, Carl, this time of year, what do you deal with? You're dealing with big fires every year. You're dealing with the issue of running out of water, which also means you might run out of hydroelectric power, which also leads to power shutoffs. Not the power shutoffs from, a windy day might cause it a boom. These are real power shutoffs where they've run out of electricity generation capacity, And as the environs down south wanted to close down four natural gas-powered plants right now. We got to shut them down, because they're on the coast. They use ocean water for their cooling water in their heat exchangers that they have there. So, oh my gosh, you're raising the temperature of the ocean. part of the reasons why we don't have the two nuclear plants. They've got rid of San Onofre down in San Diego. They had some issues there, but it wasn't like they were fixable. This made the regulations and the process so difficult that prices are out of the business. And PG&E has had to succumb to the browbeating on the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant down just out of the San Luis Obispo area that they built back when I was in school there. And it was about coming online about 1982, right about when I left. Well, that would still have another 40 years of service left, but they wanted out just because they wanted out. So that will go offline in 2024 or 2025, the two different burners they have there. And that's about 8% of the power grid, and I think San Onofre was about 8% when it was at full tilt. So you keep taking these generation abilities off the table for our grid, which needs, I think, 50,000 megawatts might be what the state is at its very peak.
Mm-hmm.
And we fall short of that now on the hottest days, like the ones coming up.
Well,
I guess we should be happy that it's over the weekend when not as many businesses are cranking away and such, but,
Well, REU has already warned about this weekend. We have to take a break, but REU has already warned about this weekend that we could get
about back. Shutting power off?
Well, not REU.
Power.
We are blessed with having REU here, and we have a natural gas plant here and to pick up the slack. But the PG&E
may be... good
maybe,
hydro.
Yeah, well, and we have hydro.
You've got good hydro contracts.
Too, but...
hydros.
But the PG&E may be having brownouts this weekend because it's going to be so hot. And Governor Newsom said the other day, he said the solar and wind does not give us enough power. So that was interesting. Anyway.
He admitted that out loud?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, He said that.
I mean, he had a revelation for about 10 minutes.
Well, right, he said that during
on high speed rail.
Yeah. Well, too bad. Oh yeah. Well, then didn't he backtrack on that one?
I'm sure the unions called up and yelled at him, like, look, man, we need this for jobs, you know? Like, yeah.
Okay. I tell you what, let's just keep moving. And let's talk, you know, when we talk about this, you know.
We don't want to talk about the man's last stronghold or the Trigicon sites or anything?
Well, no, I could say Cypress Square. I got my hair cut there 2 days ago. Man's last stronghold. Give them a call at 244-9478. There you go. Great place to get a haircut. And I've already talked about going down to
Buff. I should try that sometime.
You should. You know what? You'd love it. You'd love it there because this is just a great.
Sure, it would.
This is a great shop. Good people in there. So
my last haircut was not really a bootleg one, but it was up in Portola there. called the depot there. I think the railroad. Oh crap! I can't remember the name, but the railroad depot up in Portola. Great guy, and they're after him.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I got one up there. Just trying to support these guys that are just trying to do the right normal thing. I mean, I even sympathize with Mrs. P. You know, she needs her hair done, then she should open up the dang salons and let them do business because they know how to social distance. But I'm digressing again, Carl.
Well, you know, that's what Cypress Square does. They have 10 minutes in between. Their number of people whose hairs they can cut has been cut in half because of all the rules. This thing has caused, and I'm not sure if you saw some of the things that were being said in the Board of Supervisors meeting, how people are just on the edge, that, hey, it's time to open us up. And luckily we've opened up.
One fellow who's gone national, he's gone viral. This has been.
Yeah, Mr. Zabata.
5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a Latino name, and I think he owns the Palomino room down in Red Bluff.
He does, and it's Carlos Zabata.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yep. So, I had a colleague, I think, from Florida walk up to me on the house floor and say, hey, is this Shasta, is that your area? I mean, I saw the video of this guy, you know, who's just sick of it. I'm not opening up again. Like, yeah, that's our guy. And so I just kind of chuckled that, you know, this is national here. And it shows if a guy from Florida is walking up, and it just continues to underline how unreasonable California is at most things. And, you know, Governor Newsom with his color coding now of open up ability. They have three colors, and none of them are green. None of them are a green light. And he even said in his press on that we don't want to have a green one because we don't want people thinking like we're going to get back to the old normal or on that order. Like, really? That's, you know, this virus will end sometime, and there's no reason at that point that we can't go back and do normal things as Americans and exercise our freedom to open a business, to thrive at a business, to fail at a business, and have the county fair, have the, you know, Intermountain Fair. I mean, I think they're still going to do a lot of activities up there, even though they were told they can't do certain things. We got to do what we do here, and as they say, the business of America is business, and so, you know, I mean, us back there in D.C. creating more debt by, you know, these trillion-dollar-at-a-time loans and bailouts and things. I mean, yeah, they've been necessary because of what we perceive or what everybody perceives the virus to be, at least in the beginning. And but we've added $3 trillion to that number, and I don't know quite where the merry-go-round stops on new debt.
How long can we do that?
Oh, Doug, he was against the PPP. Like, no, I'm not necessarily against it, but don't we have to keep an eye towards the debt, too? I mean, yes, we have to help our small business. We have to help those that are unemployed to get from A to B during this thing, but the amount of waste that comes up in a hastily passed bill with trillions of dollars in it, you know it's going to be there, and those chickens are starting to come home now, too, and the unemployment benefits that had to be negotiated, and the Dems got their piece of the table. They wanted it to be $600 a week. How many businesses have you heard from on your radio show, Carl, or just people talking around town, can't get people to come back to work if they're allowed to be open because it's more generous on the unemployment benefits? That is not how it's supposed to work.
Well, that's and right? Well, yeah, we have a lot of places that that they can't find the technicians to work on equipment. The with the hiring, trying to get people back and working in the restaurants was difficult. And the opening up, then closing, then opening again. This is just going. It's just a recipe for killing business. And what you said is right. That one thing is if you no matter what you put in front of it to slow the spread of the COVID. You can say anything, and they have, and it has a severe impact. Now that we have our restaurants open, but at much reduced capacity, everything's at much reduced capacity. And, you know, we've had, as you probably know, we've had rodeos, we've had protests with 1,500 people in there, we've had at the Sundial Bridge.
Singing under the bridge.
Yeah, under the bridge. Sturgis had probably over 250,000 people there, and the headlines was one person has died directly related to being at Sturgis, and he had underlying conditions. Well, if you have underlying conditions, maybe you don't want to go to where there's going to be 250,000 people. But we can't stop doing this.
Where does the self responsibility come back? You know, where people are screaming at you because you went into a place and maybe. You know, the other people, as I guess the libertarian point of view is, you know, one person's rights end where the other person's nose begins. And so I don't think people have the right to demand others not do their normal thing. I think the spirit early on of trying to cooperate this way, when the COVID first came, you know, everybody did it. Everybody pretty much stayed home. You know, we figured out who's essential, who's not essential, which is kind of a tyrannical power to give government anyway. You know, because that became very arbitrary. Home Depot's essential, but, mom and pop, hardware store isn't, so that's
churches.
Very dangerous.
Churches became non-essential. When did churches become non-essential?
Because people that don't like them don't think, churches in some ways compete with government, right? So, the great Gaia or whatever. So, and we're seeing for people that are not, that do not have a faith or a strong faith, they don't put any stock in that. And when they end up being in charge of something like the mayor of New York or any of these large liberal cities, they don't put any value in that.
Right now, have you seen, and you've been around public for a long time, have you seen our nation splintered like this before?
Well, I think you've been around a little bit longer than me, and I think you can answer that just as well as I can.
Well, my answer, then, of course, is no. I've never seen it like this before. No.
You have a little longer experience to draw from, but no, I certainly haven't seen it either, Carl. And other nations that we watch, when they splinter, they're usually moving in the direction of freedom. When you're watching Hong Kong and things in China like that.
Yeah.
The revolutionary direction typically goes in the direction of trying to fight off tyranny and oppression, And so, that's not always, but that's what we see happening. Everybody's rooting for Hong Kong. Well, except for LeBron James and the NBA. No, they don't want to touch that because they might lose contract.
NBA. What's that? So anyway,
NBA, the National Basketball Association.
No, I know. It was just, what's that?
Oh, okay, sorry. I'm sorry. You got me. Yeah.
We've got like 2 minutes left, Congressman. What do you want to tell people here? I mean, you're running for re-election, obviously.
Just buckle down. Again, we're fighting to get through this thing, even if a simple thing like trying to keep the fair open, right is on our side. The churches, when they go to court, several of these cases have gone in favor of churches being able to smartly worship. So I still think right is on our side. As bad as it looks on TV right now, that we still have the ability to exert our freedoms here. Now, if we screw up on the election nationally, and let's say they give the Senate over to Chuck Schumer and the gang and give the White House over, then they will pass any bill by a 51 vote majority. There's no longer cloture, I think. I think Chuck promised to throw that out. At that point, they'll start passing things like D.C. becoming a state.
and so they can pack the Senate with more Democrats, and then increase the number of Supreme Court justices from 9 to 15 or whatever, so they can pack that up. FDR tried to do that, you know, 80 years ago. So we have to be very vigilant in this thing. You know, again, Donald Trump is not the perfect guy, but they do like to tell lies about him, too. This article in The Atlantic said he's against our military and all this.
Yeah, I saw that. I am
not going to believe that unless, you know, they have some real proof other than sources say, you know, stuff like that. So, but they use that and they throw it out there because they can do it with impunity. So, you know, in my own race, it's still on the quiet side. We're preparations for that, but you know, the opposition is going to gear up soon, and I don't see how she does anything besides try and badmouth me in the race because she doesn't have a track record. So I think what we're looking at is probably a whole lot of negative campaigning against me in these next weeks. So my goal or my desire in every election is to talk about what I've done, what I'm doing, and what I intend to do, and keep the pledge that I've made all along. And the positions I've had since I first threw in for the assembly a little while back hasn't really changed a lot. It's individual freedom. It's building water supply. It's building infrastructure that people can actually use and helps benefit them.